Blog Talk Radio.
Let me tell you about something new. A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour, live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
Well, good morning, brothers and sisters, kings and queens, angels and saints, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I'm your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. So I'm having a little bit of technical difficulty and trying to drive at the same time. That is not a good thing. So, but anyway, we have Paul Z. Shelton on this morning to give us the 2021 financial game plan. Good morning, Paul. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you doing today?
Hello, Paul?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. Thank you for your patience. Thanks for being with us this morning. How are things going?
Things are going well on my end. No complaints. Our normal market is crazy as usual, but things are going good so far. How are everything on your end?
It's going well. It's going well. I'm crazy as usual, but it's going well. Before we get into the finance stuff, though, how's new papahood doing?
It is doing well. The youngest one is 3 months old now, and he's doing his best to spend time with me at 3 a.m., 2 a.m., every time he gets the opportunity. So he, for whatever reason, he likes bonding at those hours as opposed to during the day when everyone else is awake. But he's been doing well so far. He's growing, he's healthy, and that's all we can ask for. So it's been a blessing.
Well, good. So I'm glad to hear that. And we're going to talk a little bit about a financial game plan for kids at some point. But today we want to just talk about a general financial game plan for 2021, you know, but before we get to the actual game plan, we need to talk about the jobs report today and just jobs in general. And so I think it was 224,000, 225,000 new jobs added, but it actually, from what I saw, it was half of what economists had expected or hoped to have added. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, that is correct. So for the non-farm payroll, employment rose by 245,000 jobs in the month of November, which is good. We're seeing jobs increase, which is positive. The negative is this was only about 50% of what the expectations were. Some analysts were calling for roughly $465,000 in job gains over the month of November, which typically we see significant job gains in October and November as there is seasonal hiring that takes place. Unfortunately, this year, the retail trade in the government sector were the two primary sectors that were losing jobs, and that showed underperformance in the unemployment figures that were released today. So our unemployment rate still stands at roughly 6.7%, which it ticked down slightly, which shows that the economy is healthy. But when you break down all the data and look at all the underlying facets that supports this unemployment rate, you realize that the economy is healthy but not as strong as it should be, or not as healthy as it's portraying to be. We do have a significant amount of people that are not considered in the labor force participation rate as opposed to when they were in February. And it's a difference of about 4 million people. So the labor force participation rate is comprised of all of those that are of working age, 16 years to typical retirement age years, that are actively looking for a job and are actively have employment. So what we have noticed as a trend ever since the middle of the 2000s is that many people are shifting and moving towards retirement. A lot of those baby boomers were, you know, as we shifted after the great financial, the great recession, have shifted into retirement, are more of a passive income lifestyle. So that trend has been in place. It looks like what took place as a result of this pandemic is there's been more people that have shifted towards retirement, or at least 4 million, you know, U.S. citizens that have decided not to return to work, whether it's by choice or by structural unemployment, where they're having to stay on the sidelines. So as a result of a lower denominator, mathematically, it shows that the unemployment rate is lower, but in essence, the unemployment rate is a little bit higher if you were to consider where we were as an economy with our labor force participation rate in February. I know that's a lot to digest there, but what that essentially is telling us is that we have not garnered those jobs back yet that we've lost. We still have roughly 10 million people that are unemployed as a result of the pandemic. And in addition to that 10 million, 4 million of them are, you know, not planning to return, are not going to actively seek another job for whatever the case may be. And many of them are falling to a point where they may be permanently unemployed, which we know once you're classified as permanently unemployed or more than 27 weeks unemployed, it's extremely hard for you to re-enter the workforce from that standpoint. So not the rosiest of pictures to paint, even though we did receive 245,000 new jobs, it still shows that we are recovering, but at a much slower pace as of right now in our economy.
So I have two questions about that. One, you made a specific reference to non-farm worker jobs, and I was curious about why that distinguishment. And then the other question I had is, what about those people that took on like the part-time temporary seasonal jobs that may not end up keeping them? I wanted to ask about those two things. How is that incorporated into the numbers, or is it?
Yes, it is, and that's a very, very good question. So to answer your first question, it's referenced as the non-farm payroll employment because a lot of the jobs that are essentially related to farming aspects, such as produce and things of that nature, may have a high level of cyclicality or may be very cyclical. Oh, forgive me, I'm getting tongue-tied. They could be very cyclical throughout the year at different times. Typically, you know, citrus may do better during the summer months as opposed to in the winter months, things of that nature. So when you strip out all of those, you know, ancillary job gains and losses from, you know, farming and things of that nature, this is typically what's left as the core of our economy, and that's with manufacturing, retail, business growth, healthcare, and things of that nature. So that's why that's stripped out. It is very similar to the inflation rate. So with inflation, we hear about headline inflation and core inflation. Core inflation typically removes inflation that's related to food prices and energy prices because they could be so volatile. So it gives you a truer read of what's going on. So it's just purely a technical thing as to why we look at that. And to answer the second question about the cyclical jobs, I guess, or seasonal jobs that come and go, these are factored into the equation. And from an economist standpoint, we typically know that we'll see somewhat of a bounce in jobs gains during the fourth quarter of the year as everyone is preparing for holiday shopping and things of that nature, which will reverse typically in the first quarter. So those are just cyclical things that take place that we're typically aware of. But what's been different about this year and this time around is something that we've talked about so many times before, and that's the retail apocalypse. So the retail industry really showed a lack of jobs and moved in the opposite direction, you know, with this unemployment number, which is not what you typically see from a November jobs report in the United States. A big portion of that is as a result of the global pandemic that is causing a lot of people to shop more on Amazon and to, you know, shop, you know, via e-commerce. But a lot of it has been stemmed from just the retail apocalypse. Consumer preference has changed over the last couple of years, and it's been slowly changing. And the pandemic has kind of expedited that change and matured a little bit of the process, both for the consumer and for businesses that are providing services. One of the stocks that is doing really well in the market right now and today is DocuSign. You know, DocuSign has provided a way for many industries, you know, across the United States to conduct business, to have contracts signed, to, you know, continue to move business forward without having, you know, the major hiccup of time and being able to be face-to-face with someone. So these are the things that are moving towards a norm right now in our economy. And, you know, the things that we were used to, you know, having those cyclical jobs, which were very, very beneficial for the teenagers, you know, those that are college students, you know, those jobs are very, very beneficial. They're just not there anymore.
Oh, and that, yeah, I got into a little bit of that with our career counselor, Chad Brown, earlier this week, because, it, you know, we're looking at students that trying to graduate college and not necessarily having anything to go to, and then also people who have been laid off, furloughed, whatever the case, and there's nothing for them to go to either because some of those jobs are not coming back. So just got to continue to keep our eye on it and see, you know, what's what. So we need to get into trying to formulate, you know, how to recover from 2020 and how to create a more successful game plan for us to get through 2021 financially. So what would be the first step you would suggest?
Well, the first thing to do is to really sit down and just take a snapshot as to, you know, where you are today versus where you were January 1st. I know many people going into the year, you know, you have that worst case scenario in the back of your mind, or you may have that escape route that you've planned if things go south financially, but you never really have to implement it. And, you know, 2020 has been the one year where it wasn't a false alarm. You know, when the fire alarm went off, it was really a fire. So many of us have had to re-implement or go through, you know, those plans and those drills that we didn't want to go through, and tapping into some resources, some assets that we didn't want to spend, tapping into retirement accounts and drawing down on some of our savings. So the best thing to do first off before we get into 2021 is to take a snapshot as to where we are today financially and see how everything is fitting with our assets and our liabilities and what our savings looks like. Do we need to reestablish, you know, that savings plan again? Do we need to reestablish that, you know, that buffer or savings in our accounts? Do we need to start over with investing and building our retirement back up and moving forward from there? So I think the first thing to do is to really take a snapshot as to where we are, and then that'll give us a blueprint as to where we need to move going forward in that respect.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk more about the 2021 financial game plan with Paul Z. Shelton of Warwickshire. This is G's Power Hour. I've never had it so good entertainment, and we will be right back.
Over the past 60 years, Dove Beauty Bar's superior formula has remained unchanged. But when it comes to beauty, everything changed. Together, we redefined beauty. We said no to stereotypes and yes to every type. We let go of judgments and embraced what makes us unique. We're proud to have been there with you, caring for you every step of the way. Here's to the next 60 years.
Having planning a wedding, reception, family reunion, planning a banquet, or some other fundraising event. Need to share your knowledge through a workshop or seminar, or it's a difficult time and you need to plan a wake or repast. Let us help. At our gatherings, let us reduce the stress and make the occasion memorable, treasured. Call our gatherings at 407-968-9387 or email ourgatherings@yahoo.com. Let us help plan your special event.
Good morning and welcome back to G's Power Hour. I've never had it so good entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. We are trying to design and develop your 2021 financial game plan. We have Paul V. Shelton of Warwickshire on with us. And so what's the next step, Paul?
So the next step after that, so after you assess your current stance and take a financial snapshot of where you are, then it'll really highlight, you know, what you need to do moving forward when it comes to those assets and liabilities that you may have. Unfortunately, it could be the case that many of us have incurred some new debt when it comes to lent borrowing or when it comes to credit card debt and things of that nature. So really having a plan going into 21 to pay down that debt or to make sure that we can manage it in a comfortable level or an optimal level for our overall household is one of the things that is very, very key. This could very well be the time, and I suggest this, you know, to everyone on an annual basis. This could very well be the time to start issuing some of those appraisals of the things that we pay for now. When it comes to our cable, when it comes to our internet service providers and all those different things, look at those bills and see do we really have the best deal right now. There's a lot of promotions that are out there, and sometimes if we haven't changed our insurance carriers in the last, 4 to 5 years, now could be a good time to call them and say, what are the current promotions, and let them know that you're going to shop them around. You would be surprised at how much money you can save just by making that phone call. Spectrum doesn't want to lose any customers. You know, insurance companies does not want to lose any customers. So, you know, they would be up. They will be very eager, I would say, to offer promotions and things of that nature. So it's worth doing during the task of revisiting those things. The next thing I would say as we move towards the end of this year and even before we get into 2021 is think about some of those areas and, you know, for all those investors out there that have realized a lot of appreciation in the market this year, think about, you know, how can we use some of this appreciation for good? And some of the ways you can do that is through charitable gifting. Another thing that I speak with all of my clients about when you get towards the latter part of the year, many individuals are looking to use appreciated stock, highly appreciated stock, and instead of selling that stock and realizing a capital gain or anything of that nature and having to pay taxes on it, you can gift that stock to any organization. You can gift it down to the next generation, or you can gift it to grandkids, grandchildren, and that allow you to mitigate the taxes of selling that as well at the same time satisfying any charitable needs or desires that you may have. And it's a good, you know, family and estate planning tool to really do at this time of the year, especially as asset prices have increased so much. It also gives you an opportunity to use this as a chance to rebalance your investment portfolio to make sure that you're still taking on the appropriate amount of risk that you desire to do so. So that would be my second step in there. The third thing that I would say to do, and this is, I should say, maybe the third out of five things I would say is to really sit down at the beginning of the year and develop that financial plan and estate plan. And if you have not already done so, make sure that it's developed. And if it is developed, revisit it. Many times we develop a financial plan and an estate plan and we say, okay, we did it out of the way. Now let's go ahead and put it in a file cabinet and forget about it. But a financial plan and an estate plan is really a living document, and it's designed to be updated, and it's designed to to move as your life moves and transitions just as well. So if you have a will, if you have a trust, it may need to be updated with some new assets and new accounts that you may have over the course of the last 365 days. There may be new beneficiaries. If there are any new children that are born, like in my case, we had a new child that was born this year, so that's a new beneficiary. So that's someone that needs to be added to my estate plan. And if there are any other assets that you may need to revisit, old accounts, 401ks, IRAs, or things of that nature, make sure that those are updated and established in the estate plan. Prevents so many headaches going forward with your life. One of the reasons why this is very important is whenever we transition, it's very hard to have a conversation about life insurance and your estate plan and divvying up assets whenever you're dealing with the loss of a loved one. And it's been highlighted recently in the media. You know, we saw that with Aretha Franklin. We saw it with Chadwick Boseman most recently, that did not have their estate plan together. And it's caused some unsettled and uncomfortable moments for those loved ones and that family. So that would be the next thing that I would advise, is to really sit down with your financial advisor and make sure you go through your financial plan, make sure your estate plan is in order, and it would really, really be beneficial for you.
Yeah, I know that not, you know, you talked about addition, but, you know, you got to look at all of the numbers of people that we've lost because of COVID this year, you know, and so if that didn't teach us anything, I don't know what would, but just have to be prepared. I mean, and it is a difficult conversation, and it is a difficult act to make those changes and to revisit that. You know, you kind of wanted to look at it as a one and done thing usually, but life changes so very much. If you just have, that's another area where you just can't help but make sure that you're prepared for that.
Correct. And I agree with you so much. You know, life changes so much. So that's the reason why this document should be considered living and not just stale and in a cabinet. And this year has highlighted the need with that so much, with, I believe, we're over 2 million people and 2 million fatalities just from COVID, you know, and that's not anything else. That's not heart attacks. That's not car accidents. That's not all the ancillary things that we hear about, but just from the virus directly, not indirectly. Now, in addition to that, one of the reasons why I say it's very important to review your estate plan or establish it is because health officials predict that in the coming years, in the next 1 to 2 years, we will see a rise in critical illnesses and other things that will be the result, an indirect result of COVID-19. For example, this year, many preventive medicine did not take place. Many people that may have felt that lump or that were scheduled to get that exam, you know, didn't do it this year. And that's seen in the data where the typical number of people that go in for checkups and things have significantly dropped. So there is a fear out there that next year, when people are starting to return to the doctors, they may be returning and realizing there may be a stage 3 as opposed to a stage 1 cancer. And that could be catastrophic if we see that across the board, because many people have ignored those common checkups that we should have. So, again, it's a very,
and
very
surgeries,
tough conversation.
Necessary surgeries got put on. You know.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
They did. A lot of surgeries were put off, a lot of necessary surgeries, a lot of the elective medicine and procedures were postponed. And I forgot the exact statistic, but there is, I read a piece before that talked about the number of illnesses that are discovered during elective procedures. So someone goes into the hospital and say, hey, I just want to have this elective procedure done. It's not a necessity, but once you're in the operating table, that's when, you know, a potential mass or something is discovered, and the doctors realize that, hey, you've been living with something that should have been addressed. So there's so many opportunities or those situations and scenarios that could play out and could cause further stress and harm for people going forward. And not to mention just the overall stress of the pandemic, the stress of not being in society as a norm. You know, many people, you know, have contracted the virus, and I'm fairly confident that at least everyone on this planet has known at least one person that has contracted the virus and potentially knows or is at least one or two people removed from someone that has fatally contracted the virus and died as a result of it. So it's very prevalent, and it's something that, you know, we really have to get a state planner in order for and make sure that in our state plan, not only just having our documents set up, which are essential to have those documents, but make sure we have enough insurance, you know, to cover, you know, many things. Insurance companies are adjusting as we move along on how they're going to cover, you know, COVID-related illnesses going forward. And I would hate to see it go the opposite way, you know, against patients, but insurance companies want to be able to save as much money as possible. So it's very important that, you know, in the course, like I mentioned before, of reviewing your daily expenses, you know, review your insurance. Make sure you have enough insurance that's you know, that you need and for yourself and for your family. So those are very important.
Right. And I hope too, I'm going to work on having an insurance specialist on this month, because there's a lot to talk about in terms of insurance. Homeowners insurance has gone up, and they were saying, it's a report that I heard today was the fact that if you had a house that was built before, I think it's 1990, you may have a hard time getting insurance coverage for that property. It was a story on about a lady who had certain repairs done to her house because, you know, her insurance company said she needed to do them in order for them to cover her, and she had the repairs and was out of a lot of money, and they still dropped her. So
wow.
Yeah. So there's a lot going on with that. So I hope to have someone on to talk about that. But in the meantime, you know, it used to be, I want to go back to talking about savings, and it used to be that they would say, you know, for an emergency fund, let's say, you would need 6 months to kind of get you through, and that was kind of the safe estimate. We know that this pandemic has lasted way longer than that. So has there been an adjustment in terms of school of thought, in terms of what a good amount is for an emergency fund?
So not as a result of the pandemic, but there has been an adjustment in that school of thought, I should say, over the last 5 years or so, as to how much is really needed to save for that rainy day and for retirement. As financial planning and retirement planning has begun to mesh closer and closer together and incorporate savings in that factor. And in addition, you know, with many households now having two incomes with both husband and wife working and contributing to the pot, there has been some different notions about how much is really needed to be saved. We are at a point right now where many millennials and younger generations are deciding not to enter home ownership and are more so content with the luxuries of the apartment lifestyle and are having a condo and being more in the urban. So that also filters into some of the decision making too, on how much of a runway to have for savings. I am still of the belief, and I'm very old school, that you should have at minimum 6 months of savings. Now, when I advise a 6 months of savings, this is 6 months of liquidity in a savings account. Not saying there are 6 months in my checking account that I can go after or that I can spend down when needed, but 6 months in a separate savings account that is drawing probably very minimal interest, or, you know, somewhere in that manner. In addition to that, having your checking account, having liquidity in your checking account, in addition to that savings account, of at least 3 months of living in the checking account. Now, you split hair sometimes because every situation is different. You can't see it across the board. But some situations may require you to have more, some less. But I look at your operating, your normal standard expenses that you use on the month with the need of just 3 months of that within a checking account, 6 months in a savings account. So that's a total of 9 months there. Then in addition to that, whatever you may have amassed with your 401k, with your retirement savings and things on top of that nature. So when you add that all together, with the latter part being those essentially liquid but non-liquid assets because they may be in retirement accounts, you're looking at minimum of a year of savings that you will have available to you. And I think that is something that and this is a year minimum of savings, assuming that you are living below your means and you're not taking on credit card debt to finance Christmas and things of that nature. So I am of the mindset of roughly, 6 months being the bare minimum, but on the lower end of the threshold of amount of liquidity that's needed when you potentially have anything that arises, any situations like this. Before the pandemic, I mentioned it before about the invisible homeless. The invisible homeless is the group of people that are living possibly in short-term rental hotels and things of that nature, which we have a lot of in our economy, but you really don't see it as much. There's a lot of kids. I believe at one point there was an average of at least one child in every class, the typical class of 20 students that was part of this invisible homeless. And whether they were living with grandparents, family living with grandparents, or they were living in a hotel or in transitional, things of that nature. But those people that were invisible homeless were typically one car battery away from financial calamity, meaning that if their car battery went dead and they had to go buy a new one, that would throw their whole life off. That would prevent them from being able to buy groceries and dinner and things of that nature. That was prior to the pandemic. Now in the pandemic, we've seen that increase. So the situation is very dire, for people out there. So I would say to do the best that you can with savings and try not to get to that point. I know it's not easy to do, but, it's hard. You don't want to get to that point where you're close to that edge and are teetering and you can actually see the financial calamity coming down the road. I can speak from my personal experience. There was one point during the Great Recession where I worked four jobs. I had two full-time jobs. I worked during the day. My day started at night, I should say. I started at 11 p.m. I had a job to 7 a.m. Then from 7 a.m. I went and taught school until 3 p.m. And then I had two other, part-time jobs in the midst of that. One of the reasons I did that was, financial need. I needed the money at the time. I had to hustle. I had to grind. I had to do whatever I could to get it done. And as I was doing those jobs, I was taking a little bit, putting a little bit in savings and using the rest for all the expenses I had, taking enough to put in savings as much as I can, even if it was just $2 or $3. And you'll be surprised at how much that will add up over time and allow you to be able to right the ship and get out of that negative situation.
So we're going to take a quick break. We are here with Paul V. Shelton of Warwick Shore, developing your 2021 financial game plan. This is G's Power Hour. Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
This is Douglas Dobbs of Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community for 29 years with quality funeral and cremation services. Honoring all religions and faiths, we have been here for many grieving families. Whether it's a complete funeral service with a burial or a simple, dignified cremation, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here for you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407-578-7720. Dobbs. Dedicated to serving our families.
Hi, I'm Tim Garrison, and I think I found a way to help you understand what is chill out jazz.
Come and y'all make me confused, because I don't
night at 10 on KHAM Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. It is the first Friday of the month on G's Power Hour. We usually talk about the economy, which we touched on a little bit, but we are talking right now about getting you straightened out for 2021. It is the 2021 Financial Game Plan, and we're here with Colsey Shelton of Warwick Shore. If you have questions, the number is 516-387-1944. So, Paul, you talked a little bit about liquidity and putting money into low interest-bearing accounts. Are there any, though, if you have, let's say, any extra money, are there good resources where you could get better interest or better return on what you're putting out?
Yes, you can, definitely. And, you know, that makes me excited when you start talking about investing, because that's what I do. But, yeah, you're not going to get much from your, you know, CDs and accounts at your bank. But really being in the market has rewarded investors, I should say, from 1900, from the year 1900 and before. And no more evident than this year. If you look at the stock market, we've had a cataclysmic crash that took place in the first quarter of this year, and the market has since rebounded, where we have recovered all of our losses, I should say. We're marching slightly above where we were back in February of this year. And that's just a testament to show that when you invest, you know, you have to stay invested and be disciplined and stay in the market, and you will be rewarded in that respect. So there are, you know, several ways, you know, to invest, even from going and opening up an investment account with TD Ameritrade, Charles Schwab, or, you know, one of the online brokers like that, and trading and buying some things of your own, or even reaching out to a financial advisor like me and having my firm, you know, manage those assets for you and help you navigate the investment landscape. So there are several opportunities in that respect. And I think going into 2021, you know, we've developed our investment outlook for 2021, and it's some of the things to really pay attention to. One, you know, we're going to have a new regime in the White House. It appears to be that way from all sorts of the manners as of right now. So we're going to potentially see a new tax code for the year of 2021. It won't be realized until 2022, but there will be a new tax code. More than likely, there's going to be more economic stimulus that is going to come about, which is needed in our economy as of right now. So those two things, essentially the economic stimulus itself, definitely paves the way for more growth that we've seen in our economy when it comes to the investing in the stock market. Much of the gains that we realized in the stock market during the summer in the latter half of 2020 was a result of the CARES Act and all of the liquidity that was pumped into the market at the beginning of the year to combat the coronavirus-induced recession that we were in. So I wholeheartedly feel that, you know, now is a good time to be in the market. Now is a great time to be invested in the market. But you do have to be prudent, understand where we are in our business cycle. Typically coming off of a recession, which the recession is technically over from a technical standpoint, although from a physical standpoint, it doesn't feel like it in some scenarios for many individuals. But from a technical standpoint, our GDP is positive and we're no longer in a recessionary economy. And typically when you do exit a recession, there is a rotation from growth stocks to value stocks that takes place. And typically in the immediate aftermath of a recession, you will see those value stocks take the lead in the economy. You know, those value stocks are typically the stocks that pays a dividend and that have more of a stable value to them, such as the stocks in the financial sector, utility sector, and things of that nature. They're typically a safer, they pay a higher dividend, and they'll provide you with more stability in your portfolio performance over time. potentially as well in the healthcare sector, there could be some opportunities for some growth next year, especially as we get the vaccine rolled out and some of those healthcare providers that provide the preventative medicine, some of those names like CVS and things of that nature, are in line to distribute the vaccine. They may receive some ancillary growth and have the market, you know, push up as well. One of the other things that I think will be good for the stock market is over the next year, at minimum, the Federal Reserve has advised that they will maintain low interest rates. Now, we're not expecting to see much inflation in the market. Typically, when we see inflation, a lot of inflation, that erodes the earning capacity of many investors, and it takes away from those investments that we have. It cheapens the value of the dollar, and it also it works against the investing philosophy. Although we've had extremely low inflation for, I would say, the better part of, you know, 12 to 14 years, it's going to remain, you know, that way, at least for the foreseeable future. In addition to investing in the stock market, that will also provide some opportunities, you know, for lower mortgages, some opportunities in the real estate industry as well. So I really believe that, you know, there is a significant amount of opportunities for investing, you know, to really move your assets and have your assets grow. And additionally, I don't believe that, as I mentioned before, like about DocuSign, I don't believe that the stay-at-home trade is completely over. And that's a lot of those stocks, you know, Zoom and all those things. I don't believe that it's completely over. I believe there would be somewhat of a small rotation, you know, in identifying throughout all the corporations in this country of what jobs could be completed, you know, from a kitchen table and what jobs are required to return back to the office. That could hurt the commercial real estate industry somewhat, but I don't think that it will be catastrophic because I believe there will still be a presence, a corporate presence, and there still is a need for many organizations to have an office. However, those stocks in those industries that have really shined at the onset of the pandemic, I think they still have some runway left throughout next year and some continued growth prospects as we get used to this new norm. I spoke with several neighbors and people that I know that are accustomed now to virtual school, and it's made it easier for them to travel. It's made it easier for them, you know, just to live their lives in that aspect. And I think we'll see more of a demand. There's going to be a demand for kids to return back to school in the normal capacity of life. I know I'm ready for my kids to get out of the house and go back to school as well. They're ready to go. They're ready to get away from me as well. But I honestly don't feel that we will see life as normal, or life as normal as what we knew it to be normal prior to 2021, until possibly 2022, you know, until that time frame. Even though we have some good prospects of a vaccine, which is good, but, you know, the dissemination process for that and will take some time, you know, to get out, you know, to everyone. And so I believe that there are some good prospects for the investment landscape going forward. It's just you have to be strategic about it and understand where we are in our business cycle.
And then, too, there are a lot of people that have become comfortable with the stay-at-home and the Zoom and everything. It's like, oh, you know, if I do a Zoom call, I can, you know, be on the call and I can, you know, do other things too at the same time.
Correct.
And I don't have to drive, so that saves me some gas and other things like that. So there are some people that trying to get them to go back into the regular quote unquote workforce is going to be a hard task. So.
It will be, and it's extremely beneficial on the quality of life when you think about it. For me to conduct a Zoom call, you know, with a client or with anyone, even a new prospect, is, I would say, better than having to drive. When I used to drive, across town an hour to Winter Park to get to work and then take another hour to come back and pick up the kids from the daycare and drive home, then have to cook dinner. by the time you do all of that, there's not much time, and you do homework, there's not much time for extracurricular activities. Being in the environment that we are in now, you can eliminate all the, just the time, the 2 hours a day that I spent in a car is eliminated mm-hmm. and given back to me to spend with my family. So that is highly appreciated.
Well, and that's true in that vein, but at the same vein, if you're not out, you're not supporting the local businesses. You're not stopping
Correct.
And getting coffee. You're not stopping and grabbing a bite to eat. You're not, you know, window shopping or, you know, and possibly buying something. So, I mean, there's kind of a catch-22 in that. I mean, on a personal level, it works for a lot of people, but at the same time, you're not creating the traffic, you know, that drives customers to a lot of local businesses because, you know, there's nobody out there. Well, I won't say there's nobody out there, but, you know, there's not the same traffic patterns, traffic flow that, you know, some of these people would have benefited from.
Correct. The volume is not there. You're completely 100% correct in that. And a lot of local businesses and companies are losing in that respect and having to adapt. And I believe that if many of the local, for the ones that can do so, I mean, it's hard for a coffee shop and local cafes to do it, but if you're a local retailer or if you're a small business, if you're able to capitalize on e-commerce and offer your services and products over online, then you may be able to sustain some of that loss of daily volume with just passing by and things of that nature. But it is hard. It is hard.
Yeah.
It's hard on the local economies.
One thing, too, you may have to find some other means of getting your goods to your customer if, you know, if the trend like UPS has continued. I don't know if you heard about them saying they're not going to pick up, I guess, or work with certain retailers. There's about six of them that there's like,
yes.
you know, they instruct the people that don't, no, we're not picking up from them. So, and I don't know if it's because they've become inundated or what, but that kind of leaves a vacuum of sorts for, then also, as I was telling my husband, it might create a job opportunity for someone who thinks they want to get into the delivery business as well.
Correct. Yeah, it could be some entrepreneurs out there, and, you know, that could create an opportunity for, like, a commercial sector of Uber, potentially.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if those entrepreneurs are thinking, hey, I have the capacity to do so and pick up and deliver from in my local area. How could we do this? Yeah.
Right. Can't go back to my regular job, so
might
as well see what I can do. You know, get together with some other people who can't go back to their regular jobs and see what you can do. Just a thought.
Correct.
Yeah. So we're going to take our final break. We are here trying to develop a 2021 financial game plan. We are here with Paul Z. Shelton of Warwick Shore. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
Hi, I'm Tim Garrison. You may know me as Timmy G. Yeah, I know. It's been two decades, but I want you to know I'm back in the Arglitz. And I've got a mix of music that can help you relax and chill out. It's smooth. It's relaxing. It's chill out jazz. The soulful mix of smooth jazz, soul, and smooth R&B. So join me every Wednesday night, 10 p.m. to midnight, on K-Ham Radio.
Are you? Chillin'.
Swiffer Sweeper cleans so completely, you'll never go back to your old broom again.
Now a song for Mary from a Mr. Broom.
New Swiffer Sweepers redesigned to clean corners, and it traps and locks 50% more dirt, dust, and hair than a broom. So go all the way clean. New Swiffer. Clean better or your money back. Guaranteed.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. We are working on your 2021 financial game plan. Monday, we've got the 2021 mortgage game plan. Next Friday, week from today, we've got your 2021 house maintenance game plan with our helpful handyman, John Robinson. So make sure you join us for that. Part of my 2021 game plan is to get some more advertisers for the show. But anyway, we're here with Paul, who's helping us try to see what else we can do to make sure that we recover properly from 2020 and have a more successful 2021. So go ahead, Paul.
So those were primarily the major facets I would see, and just to review it, and then I'll get to one last caveat, which I think would be good for the social aspects of your life. But to review, start off one with doing a financial snapshot of your assets and liabilities, getting an understanding of your current stance as of right now. The second thing is understanding how to rebalance your portfolio through charitable gifting and understanding that the market has went up significantly and now could be a time to abate some taxes with some charitable gifting of highly appreciated stocks, as well as rebalancing your portfolio. The third thing, develop a financial plan and estate plan, and if it is already developed, make sure that that plan is revisited and updated. That is one of the most important things about an estate plan. You can have it developed, have all the documents drafted and filed, but if you have not funded that estate plan, it is all for naught. So it's very important to do that and revisit everything that encumbers an estate plan. The next thing, the investment outlook for this year. We're going to have a new leadership when it comes to the White House. So there's potential changes that will take place for the tax code and other legislative things that may happen over the next year. So be prepared for that. Be prepared for a potential of additional liquidity coming into our economy through economic stimulus. And also, how the investment landscape looks, and how if you're moving past that savings point and you're ready to invest, you know, understanding where we are in the business cycle to make sure that we are prudently investing our money and prepared for retirement. The last thing that I would suggest, as I mentioned, is more so of the social aspects of your life. So whenever we are in a down spiral of our economy, there's opportunity for depression to set in, which it has for many people. And this is true for, you know, everyone, no matter your wealth status, no matter your wealth class or anything of that nature. There's depression that can set in merely around the fact of, you know, not being able to go out and do the things that you're used to doing, or having cabin fever from everyone being home and nearly 24 hours a day in some cases. So one thing that I would suggest, and I always suggest to people, is to reevaluate your goals from last year and take a barometer and a pulse check of the goals that you set for yourself last year for 2020. Were you able to maximize those goals and reach all those goals? Now, I know 2020 is kind of an outlier and one of those years where it was really hard for many things to be addressed and done, maybe from your goal list, but it could be the opportunity to say, hey, I did have some good traction in the first quarter of this year towards reaching this goal. Let's see if I can pick that up in 2021 as we're moving forward and as things start to normalize a little bit more. So establishing those new goals after you grade the ones from last year, those new goals for education and new goals for your overall health, physical health. You would be surprised, but that weighs a lot into your financial health as well. Establishing, you know, your physical health, establishing your education and things of that nature. So those would be, you know, that would be the last caveat for your financial plan 2021, I should say, or, you know, your financial preparedness for 2021 is to look deep, look at those goals for yourself, for your family, look at education and for yourself and your family, and establish those goals and really see what you can do to work towards those things. And provide so many benefits and pay so many dividends when it comes to your financial health, when it comes to your mental health, and overall your physical health.
And then how do we contact you, Paul, if we need more information, more guidance?
You can reach me at 407-493-6288 on our corporate line. You can find us online through social media under Warwick Shore Advisors. That's Warwick, W-A-R-W-I-C-K, Shore, S-H-O-R-E, Advisors. You can follow us on our YouTube channel, on Facebook, and on Instagram.
All right. Well, thank you, Paul. Really appreciate you taking the time out today and being with us. And, by the way, blessed New Year to you, because I may not talk to you before then, but blessed New Year to you and your family and Christmas as well.
Likewise.
And thank you so much. By the way, you guys, I messed up a little bit, so I was late because I had some technical issues getting the link to you. I had trouble getting the link to myself, but anyway. So the link is up for G's Power Hour, and so if you missed some of the first part of the show, please save the link and listen to it again, and listen to it again, and listen to it again, because there's good information there. Also, we had Chad Brown yesterday, a consumer counselor. You might want to listen to him again. Always save the link. You may need to change the date to get to the show that you want to, and also go on Blog Talk Radio and search for G's Power Hour, and the episodes will come up where you can try to find the one that you're looking for. So anyway, thank you for taking the time to be with us. Also, if you have a story idea, something that you want us to look into, something that you want us to get a guest for, please remember to hit me up on the G's Power Hour Facebook page. And as Paul was talking about charitable giving, you know, we had someone on from Giving Tuesday. We also had Choose a Cause last week, a couple of episodes with that. So if you're having trouble finding an outlet for your charitable contribution, there are some there, but there are more, so many more. And we're going to try to post some this month on the G's Power Hour Facebook page while you are in the spirit of giving. So please take advantage of that. Thank you so much for being with us. This has been G's Power Hour. Never had it so good. Entertain, be well, be safe, be blessed. And please remember, all real power comes from God. Take care.